Research shows that not all types of service firms are equally suited to automation. The temptation for businesses to use artificial intelligence and other technology to improve performance, drive down labor costs, and better the bottom line is understandable. But before pursuing automation that could put the jobs of human employees at risk, it's important that business owners take careful stock of their operations. That's the conclusions of researchers at Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute, published in a special issue of the Journal of Service Management on AI and Machine Learning in Service Management. The researchers go on to say AI has the potential to upend our ideas about what tasks are uniquely suited to humans. But poorly implemented or strategically inappropriate service automation can alienate customers, and that will hurt businesses in the long term. The choice to use automation or AI needs to be a strategic decision. If a business competes by offering a substantial amount of human interaction or has a range of service offerings that can change from client to client, the company will have a lower success rate in replacing human professionals with AI technologies. On the other hand, businesses that limit customer choice and interaction will see greater success if they choose to automate. Business leaders considering a switch to AI-based automation must carefully examine their strategies for managing knowledge resources. Before companies invest in AI, they need to understand whether replacing human judgment and interaction with digital technologies and algorithms is a strategically sound idea. Like any form of knowledge, AI and all forms of service automation have their place, but managers need good models to know where that place is. Furthermore, the researchers determined that in businesses where trust and reputation are critical factors in building and maintaining a client base, people will be more likely to be effective than automated technologies. Conversely, in areas where human biases are particularly harmful to the service provision, AI will be a relatively better tool for companies to employ. As a result, many businesses will ultimately be using a mix of people skills and automation to effectively compete. Even AI, which can handle very sophisticated tasks, typically works best alongside humans, and vice versa. Therefore, automation and human workers can and should be used together, and the extent of automation must fit with the business's strategic approach to customers. Toxic personality is a term used to describe people who behave greedily, immodestly, and unfairly while taking the truth very lightly. Researchers at the University of Bonn recently explained why such people can still succeed in their careers in the journal Personality and Individual Differences. It's because one of the factors that leads to the top is social skills. Social skills are in themselves a good thing in the workplace. They can open locked doors and help us cope with daily stress. But they can also be used to deceive others, abuse trust, or construct a facade of harmlessness beyond which actually lurks deceitfulness. The research team determined that toxic personalities, who are considered socially adept by their colleagues, were considered more capable by their superiors and occupy a higher hierarchical position. That means we have to get used to the idea that social skills can be a double-edged sword. In personality tests, toxic persons have low scores in the categories of honesty and modesty. And such personalities tend to focus on themselves all the time. However, good social skills enable them to deceive others. On the other hand, those who are distinctly honest and modest are a real joy for their teams. And such individuals behave fairly and allow colleagues to share in their successes. The psychologists at the University of Bonn investigated the phenomenon by interviewing various work teams. First, the participants completed an anonymous online survey and assessed themselves on the characteristics of honesty and modesty, among others. Then colleagues provided information on the social skills of the participant. The participants' supervisors then gave an appraisal of their work performance. The researchers were able to collect data from a total of 203 such trios of employees, colleagues, and supervisors. The results showed that workers with low values for honesty and modesty can nonetheless succeed in their careers if they balance the toxic parts of their personality with trickery, disguise, and deception, which are the dark side of social skills. But how can companies and teams use these findings? In order to slow down the ascent of toxic personalities, more attention should be paid to actual performance and less to good impressions when selecting staff and making assessments. This is particularly difficult in activities where it is important to impress and arouse interest, such as in sales or leadership positions. Here, it makes sense to also look at the absenteeism and turnover rate of subordinates, as well as customer loyalty associated with the possible toxic personality. According to recent research presented at the American College of Cardiology's annual scientific session together with World Congress of Cardiology, compared with people who slept for longer or shorter periods of time, those who reported sleeping 7 or 8 hours a night had significantly less evidence of stiffness in their arteries, indicating a lower chance of developing heart disease or suffering a stroke. Even after accounting for other known risk factors for heart disease or stroke, people who slept less than 6 hours or more than 8 hours a night had significantly greater odds of having plaque buildup in the walls of their carotid arteries, a 54% and 39% increase respectively, compared with those who got 7 or 8 hours of sleep. The study adds to mounting evidence that sleep patterns, similar to diet and exercise, may play a defining role in someone's cardiovascular risk. Unlike other heart disease risk factors, such as age or genetics, sleep habits can be adjusted, and even after taking into consideration the impact of established risk factors for arteriosclerosis and cardiovascular diseases, for example, age, gender, obesity, smoking, hypertension, diabetes, high blood pressure, and even a history of coronary artery disease, both short and long sleeping duration may act as additional risk factors. For this analysis, researchers assessed sleep patterns in 1,752 people using a standard questionnaire that was fielded by a trained cardiologist, primary care provider, or nurse. Participants were then divided into one of four groups based on self-reported sleep duration: normal, 7 to 8 hours a night; short sleep duration, 6 to 7 hours a night; very short sleep duration, less than 6 hours a night; or long sleep duration, greater than 8 hours a night. Participants represented a broad spectrum of the general public, including healthy people as well as those with cardiovascular risk factors and established heart disease, and most were from rural areas with less than 1,000 to 2,000 inhabitants. They ranged in age from 40 to 98 years, with a mean age of 64 years old. At the time of the study, each participant also underwent ultrasound imaging to measure the thickness of the inner part of the arterial wall. Thickening of the arterial walls reflects plaque buildup and is associated with an increased risk of stroke and other cardiovascular events. Intima media thickness of less than 1.5 millimeters or protrusion of less than 50% compared to nearby segments of the artery wall was defined as atherosclerotic plaque. Researchers uncovered a U-shaped pattern between sleep duration and early indicators of atherosclerosis, which underscores the need for a balanced sleep pattern. Intima media thickness and plaque buildup in the artery walls was greater in both the shorter and longer sleep duration groups as compared to normal sleep duration. Researchers said that adopting a balanced sleep pattern of 6 to 8 hours nightly may be just what the doctor ordered. It seems that this amount of sleep may act as an additive cardioprotective factor among people living in modern Western societies, and there can be other health benefits to getting sufficient and quality sleep. Further research is needed, especially to determine whether too much sleep is actually harmful. The biggest causes for shortened life expectancy for 30-year-old men are smoking and diabetes. Smoking takes 6.6 years and diabetes 6.5 years out of their life expectancy. Now, new research shows that being under heavy stress shortens their average life expectancy by 2.8 years. These results are based on a study in which researchers from the Finnish Institute for Health and Welfare calculated the effects of multiple risk factors, including lifestyle-related ones, on the life expectancy of men and women. The study also revealed that a lack of exercise strongly reduced the life expectancy of 30-year-old men by 2.4 years. On the other hand, things such as the consumption of plenty of fruits and vegetables could increase life expectancy, eating fruits by 1.4 years and eating vegetables by 0.9 years. The same factors impacted the life expectancy of both men and women. For 30-year-old women, smoking shortened their life expectancy by 5.5 years, diabetes by 5.3 years, and heavy stress by 2.3 years. The effects to the life expectancy on older people were similar but smaller than in younger age groups. In the case of stress, moderate levels seem to have the most positive effect depending on how individuals perceive it. Specifically, the experience of stress increased the life expectancy if the person felt the amount of stress they were experiencing was approximately the same as what other people typically experienced. On the other hand, having more or less stress than that reduced their life expectancy. The data collected was from men and women aged 25 to 74 using questionnaires and measurements. The rate of mortality was monitored from the end of 1987 to 2014. Notably, the study found that the life expectancy of 30-year-old men and 30-year-old women only differed by 1.6 years based on the same lifestyle risk factor values. The difference between the sexes is just over 5 years for all 30-year-olds, and the difference between 1.6 years and 5 years comes down to women having healthier lifestyles than men. Furthermore, the differences in the life expectancies of people with different levels of education was fairly small when the other risk factor values were the same. However, earlier studies have discovered large differences between the life expectancies of groups of people with different levels of education. The lifestyle choices that increase mortality, such as smoking, heavy alcohol use, unhealthy diet, and lack of exercise, are most common in the population groups whose social position is the weakest. Implicitly, the life expectancy of the whole population could be improved significantly through helping men and people with a lower level of education make better lifestyle choices.